may have seen this person all day, but still got something to talk about. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to get started this morning. We're going to get that. How many were you getting? Get you started getting the voice. Who had warm-ups this morning? All right, good. All right, good. We're going to start again this morning with Lodi and Chariot. And I want those feet. Who, anyone want to try this morning?
Who would like to try to lead?
Who knows it? Oh, come on.
Why don't you lead us once and then?
Okay.
And maybe we might get the.
I will get those feet on the floor, legs uncrossed.
Oh, yeah, sound good.
Doesn't that sound good?
This is all the music they had, OG. Oh, Lodi and Chariot, let me ride.
You try. That's right. And you know, in churches today and years ago, that's the person would leave that song off, and maybe they've sung enough to satisfy themselves, and someone else would grab it, just like she grabbed it, and then someone else would do it, and that song in that church sometimes would just go on and on and on. But today, as Doug said before, the choirs have taken over. So people don't get that satisfaction of singing, because maybe a song has been in your heart all day. And when you get to church, you want to sing it with someone. And you want to share it. But today, as I said, the choir sings, so you don't have any reason to do anything. Just sit there and listen at them. And then listen at the message from the pastor. And that's about it. But if we would go back to this old-time way, our convocation was, the theme was, let us go back to the old landmark in the service of the Lord. And that's a true thing. I think our country would be a lot better if we would go back to that old landmark. Okay, something else I wanted to say with you. We're going to start every morning with that. So I want some others to think about doing that, or either maybe the same ones. So let's, because that song, it really gets you stirred up and gets you ready for the class. Okay, one more we want to do. Noah. How many remember Noah? Nora, okay. All right, I'll say it like you want, as opposed to that Nora, the way that they would say it. All right. Who can tell me why this song was made up? Who knows? We explained it, so anyone remember? Noah heist the window, let the dove come in. Okay, why was that song written? Who knows? And what was it written about? Now, I know you know.
It was written about the prediction that there would be a flood, and when the flood came, then they wrote the song because Noah sent the dove and a raven.
Good. That's it. Did you all hear her? Okay. So when Noah preached that sermon for 100 years, that it's going to rain. And the people didn't want to hear it, just like today. We don't want to listen. And finally, it started raining. After he got that ark finished, it started raining. And the God locked the door. God sealed the door. Because Noah was like us. He was human. And he would have let some more in. But though no one was in there but his family and two of each kind of animal or insect, whatever. And so when it rained the 40 days and 40 nights after it stopped raining, then a few days later, probably Noah sent out the raven and the dove came back with the olive tree leaf in his mouth. So that let Noah knew that the what had gone down? The water had gone down. So someone read that passage in the Bible, and they wrote the song, Noah heist the window and let the dove come in. So the dove came back in with the olive leaf in his mouth. He knew the water had gone down. What does heist mean?
Raise.
That's right. You people used to use that years ago, heist. But now we say raise or open up. Lift, but we use air conditioning. Don't have to up until we want to air out the house. Okay, we're going to sing it. First, where we're going, how do we sing this song? And what?
Gullah
and in English, the way that, now both of them are in English, but we sing it the way that the people sing
on the
it.
Island on the island.
On the island.
You're good. You were just the only one talking. The rest of them remember.
And as we go along,
if I do the talking, I don't have to
say. And as we go along, we don't want to feel like they want to, when I stop, they want to catch on and go on with it. And we're going to do it, as she said, in both ways. I'm going to do a little of it, then I'm going to stop, and someone else want to catch on. Just to see what you're learning this week, okay? Nora, heist the window. Nora, heist the window. Nora, heist the window. Heist the window. Let the dove come in. Oh, Nora, heist the window.
yonder dressed in red. Hides the window, let the dove come in. It must be the children that Moses led. Hides the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Nora. Hides the window, Nora. Hides the window, let the dove come in. Must be the children of an Israelite. Hides the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Nora.
Hides the window.
Oh, Nora.
Hides the window.
Oh, Nora.
Hides the window. Hides the window, let the dove come in.
Who's that yonder? Dressed in red,
hides the window, let the dove come in.
Must be the children that Moses led.
Hides the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Nora. Hides the window, Nora. Hides the window, Nora. Hides the window, hides the window, let the dove come in. Children of the Israelites, hides the window, let the dove come in. Oh, Nora, hides the window, Nora, hides the window, Nora, hides the window, hides the window, let the dove come in.
Okay, that was the way that was sang that on what?
The island.
On the islands, that's right. But on the mainland, they would sing the same song, same words, but they would do what to it? When it get to what?
High school.
Higher.
Go higher.
Say it again.
It goes higher.
It goes higher, that's right. It's like it's rolling when it gets in it, and you have to really open your mouth and bring it out. That's, you know, that's one. The way that I really like it. I don't care for it. It's okay the way you sing it on the albums, but I like the way those people on the mainland put something in it. Those people were really jamming on that mainland when they sung that song. And those young children can say today they were jamming. So come on, we're going to sing it that way with them, and then some of them can catch on.
Nora, hides the window. Nora,
sing it, come on.
Hides the window.
yesterday that we were going to talk about the burying ground. Was the person in here that brought up that about the burying ground?
Yeah, the landmarks.
Yeah, I said, the historical landmarks. And I was going to talk about the burying ground, how they would bury on the islands, and it would be different from the way that the other people on the mainland. Those people, as I said before, they were isolated, and they did a lot of things different than anyone else would do. So you want to talk about it.
During the time of slavery, when some of the master's family would die, some of the slaves would have to go to tend to the mules or tend to the children as they was having the funeral. So they saw how the masters and the overseers were buried, they did. But when one of their family would die, the master would say, okay, since he was such a good boy, just build him a nice, good pine box and put him in. Or sometimes he'd be whipped, you know, whipped or punched or killed. Just wrap them up in a sheet, just pull them in a hole or something. So they saw that they wasn't buried right, no way, so they made up a game, a song, and they would do it on Sunday when they was entertaining the masters and the overseers, letting them know that I'm not being buried like you being buried. I'm not being buried right, but just ain't no need to be just push me in a hole or just making me an old pine box. Just throw me out there in the edge of the woods like you do the old hog, or old hog dial. Cow or mule die, just put them right down to the edge of the woods, and they call that the boneyard. So you just throw me right on in the boneyard just like you do them, because you're not burying me right anyhow. And as long as Jesus owns me, they said anything, they said, you may beat and bang me, but as long as King Jesus saved me. They said anything in this, and they were hot. They watched the nature of a buzzard. You know, when I was in my teens, and I was out to my uncle's, and I was flying. I was learning how to fly, how to farm. And one day, I heard something in the air that I never heard before. And I took off. I was out in the field. And I took off running home because I never heard nothing like this before. And I looked back, and up in the air, I could see it. And I hadn't seen anything like this before. I've seen buzzards before, but I've never seen one flying like this. And what it was, and a whole lot of them was behind me. And that made a great noise, and I had never heard before, and I hadn't seen them. And when I looked, I saw I was right in the door, and I looked back. So I saw them come on, circle around, and finally land. So what had happened, a hawk had died, and we had pulled him down to the edge of the woods. And so what happened is a king buzzard, they called him. He would come down, he searched for food. And when he found the food, he wouldn't go down and get him enough, you know, eat. He'd go back, make a little holler. The rest of them were coming. They had their wings kind of fold back like that, and they were coming out and went, vroom, with a whole lot of them. It sounded so funny, and I didn't know what was coming. I thought the world was coming to an end. And so that's what they did. They watched the nature of a buzzard, and they were saying, just let the buzzard pick the meat off my bone like you do the old hog or the old cow, because I'm not buried right anyway. And so they made up a song, and they made up a game, and they were dancing around. They put something down. This is showing the master and overseer that I don't care how you bury me, I don't care what you do with me, but as long as Jesus owns me, just throw me out there in the field, in that old field. What they were saying is throw me anywhere in that old field, just like you do the cows or the hogs. So this is what this game is about. So I need about 3 or 4 people to come up and help me do this game. Well, first before we do this, we're going to sing it to show you the nature of how they were singing. When I say, throw me anywhere, Lord, you say, in that old field.
In that old field.
Throw me anywhere, Lord.
In that old field.
I don't care how you do me.
In that old field.
As long as King Jesus choose me.
In that old field.
Throw me anywhere, Lord.
In that old field.
Throw me anywhere, Lord.
In that old field.
That's all you have to say is, in that old field. Whatever I say, you say, in that old field. The tune. Throw me anywhere, Lord, in that old field. 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 Don't care how you feed me in that old field. Lord, just keep happened is that they're dancing around. This is what they're showing, that the cow, this is supposed to be a cow or a hog or what. And this is one of the shouts that they were doing. They would shout around it. And every once in a while, the king was the one that came down and found and brought the rest in. He would pick around it first. And then he would pick to see if what is not that dead. See if it's really dead before the rest of them come in and help eat. Because they say it happened one time that he was so in a hurry. One brother was so in a hurry to eat. He was hungry. And the mule or whatever was quite dead. And they kicked him, like they killed him. So they were getting inspected from then on. And then they also say that a buzzard won't eat after night, after dark, after the sun go down and get dark. So they won't eat anything after night. You know why they won't eat anything after night? Can't see? No, they're afraid they'll make you something nasty. Sure that it's dead before we start in the dining, you know.
You just get to watch him.
Who's gonna sing it? Who's gonna lead it? after I get started.
Anyone gonna catch it now after Doug gets started? Or any of you up here?
Anyone.
Now you can sing because we hear you.
Love me well, Lord, in that old field. Now you put the hand on the ground and pick it up with their mouth. Somehow or another they would do it. And every one of them grab it with the mouth, and that's the way they do it with the mouth. We put the hand in because they use the hands for their wings. And they get all down and all down and pick it up. So I have never been that level. Now I've seen a man. I used to work with an older man. I'm sure he one of them that could do it because he could sit down. I was young. I was in my 20s then. This man's already about 70, 80 years old. And he could take his feet and just scratch back his head. Good fellow about that tall. Just ball all up, all kind of ways. And I couldn't even get my...
Or was it just so limber?
He was just so limber. And then up until he died, he was just that limber. Anytime you tell him, okay, do that. And I know an old white man. But I don't know whether you all know him or not, by the name of Nimrod Wharton.
Oh, yeah.
You know him?
Yeah.
How he just get down like this and put his hand flat on the floor and walk. Yeah. On his hand. Put him right through his leg like this. Bring him all the way back around and set him flat on the floor like that and walk. And I can't do it to save my life. He's almost 100 years old now. And he can also sit down and put his feet behind his head and all.
Picture of her.
Any chance if we petition, if
puts a pressure on the publisher, maybe they reprint it. It was, this was printed in 1942.
Who was the publisher?
It's Indian.
We can do that later.
Okay. All right, we've...
Now, you know, maybe we wrote to the publisher and asked...
It's been...
Maybe from us, it doesn't work that way.
It's in New York, so I'm sure it's out of, maybe out of business by now. Because that was printed in 1942. She worked on it 25 years before that. And in that book, she talks about, it's amazing, tell you how long ago, she talks about in the acknowledgement, she was saying about she couldn't have done it without the black people, which is true. She said colored people, so you know how long that was. Mm-hmm. And then she said where they would do what they used to would do for a quarter. Now, today they want a dollar or more. So you know how far back that was. My grandchildren don't do anything for a dollar today. You've got to give them more than a dollar. And so that goes to show you how they were paying them a quarter when they were doing this book. But as she began to go on into the book, up until 1942, by that time she wrote it, they weren't doing it for a quarter then. When she got this information, they were getting a dollar. So it goes to show you how far back it was. I remember when my children would go to entertain the tourists on St. Simon with some of these people that in these books, and they would get 75 cents or 50 cents, and the older people were getting a dollar and a half to go entertain tourists. And now Doug and I go entertain them, and it costs you. It's amazing how, like I said before, when the first generation of Georgia Sea Island singers went out, Alan Lomax discovered them by coming to the islands to record those people that he had heard about it. How many know of Alan Lomax? Okay, he heard about them on St. Simon's, and he went in that area. What he did, they tell me, he said that he put some kind of dye in his veins to make himself dark, black. But his hair was still white, white folks' hair. But he was still dark, so I don't know what he told him. He must have told him he was mixed. And he went and lived in that neighborhood right here where these people are on St. Simon's down to the end where, in Frederica, which is Harrington, where the black people live. You know, I told you about the south end and the north end of that Gullah language. And he lived down with them for a while. And he studied them. And that's how he got a lot of information. And but as I said, those people on the island were close-knit, and you've really got to be in with somebody. You just can't walk in there and get information or walk in there and be with those people. You've got to have some connections some kind of way. And today, even money don't get you in there because so many people have been exploited unless you put that money in their hand right then. Because everyone else have gotten money except them. And that has happened all the way up and down that coast. And in some areas I've heard of other different people being exploited and not, you know, older people. All older people been exploited.
Yeah, I wanted to show you. Just like to see a little bit. This is a picture here of the tree plantation house that was burned down in 1905. It was destroyed by fire. And you, believe it or not, that chimney is still standing there. These pillars are still standing there today, and it's a historical spot, and it's right on this tree. In fact, all these bushes you see here now is not there. That's a golf course.
It's
a golf course. They built a golf course all around, and right off to the side over here, which you can't see, you had a bigger picture, is a slave hospital. The ruins of the slave hospital is still there. It was a 2.5-story building, and it's still there. And the man that owned this, he preserved all this. They wanted a golf course so bad, so we just built a golf course around all this historic places. So this is that is still standing there now. If you're ever in the island, you go right on the Sea Island Golf Course down on the south end of the island, and you will still see this chimney. They also have a plaque out there tell you what it's about and all. Also the slave hospital and also the auction block where they auctioned the slaves off. How they were standing. Part of the rain and beat it so now it's no more about that big, but it was bigger. And where the slaves had to stand on it and turn around, they inspect the miles and everything. And it's in a little corner, like got a little wall field there with a hole about like that in it. Yeah. When they get through inspecting the slaves, they had to jump off that block, run and jump through that hole all in one motion to show their ability, their quickness. That's the way they had to do. So all that is still standing there today that you can see. And also, I don't have it. And I lost it.
Well,
I'm
thinking, and that, see, he got all of that still there. That's a tourist attraction for him. And like you said, it's made out of oyster shells and tabby. It's like a mixture of sand and something that they used to do years ago. And to maintain the hospital, it was $1,000 a year. And someone said the other day, I took someone on tour of that, and they said, they sure were nice, weren't they? I said, why you say that? He said, because they would beat them bad, then they had a hospital here to heal them, you know, for when they would get sick because they wanted to work. So it was $1,000 to maintain that building. And a doctor would come from Darien, which is 18 miles away, to minister to the sick slaves. And they had two black nurses that stayed in that building. And they would, now this was for this man's plantation, who owned Retreat Plantation. Now the others didn't have this, but this man, that's why I say up and down that coast, even during the time of slavery, was a better place to live than on the mainland, further in the southwest part of Georgia, central Georgia, and all those places. It was actually a better place to live. It seemed like the slave owners in that area, even Fanny Kemble, you know about her, have you read about Fanny Kemble? She didn't like that she married this slave owner. And she stayed with him 1 year, and she didn't like the way that the slaves were being done. And I'm sure as nice as they were, not as nice as they were, but as lenient as they were on the coast with the slaves, she couldn't have stood it to be on the mainland with them, because even there she couldn't stand the way that they were treating them there on the islands. And she just went back, and he just lost his wife because she didn't come back anymore.
This is a picture of one of her ancestors, Ben Sullivan, who was up there, right on the island. And this is the story. It tells the story about how the first one came over, give him the name of Old Tom. His African name was Salabu'ala. And so that's why I said how they
got
that.
My father looks just like him.
His father looks just exactly like him.
They were,
what is this
for? That one is Early Coastal Georgia by Margaret Kate.
Days of Coastal Georgia.
By Margaret Kate Davis. You know, that's why, I was at this class when I was talking about yesterday, telling with you that I was telling about how my name Frankie came about. Mm-hmm. How
the first day.
Oh, okay. How when they brought them here from Africa, they did not want them to use their native names or language. So they spelled her American name Frankey. But by the time it got to me in the 30s, the changing of the spelling of the name went to Frankie. And all down up and down that coast, we got relatives that's name is Frank and Frankie. But the oldest one, as I know of, is about 80-some years old, and her name is Frankie. And she spelled her name Frankie. She changed it to Frankie. And, okay, you talk
about this book here also. This book has a seventh edition. Going to its seventh edition, which was in 1974. And it was published by the Folk Frederica Association, publisher of St. Simon Island, Georgia, and it was distributed by Universal Georgia Press.
That's an Athens. You know, to share with you, then we're going to do some songs with historical places. How all slave owners, even when I in a concert, all slave owners were not mean. And you know, after freedom, there was, as I said before, how some would give the land to their slaves because of the mosquito bites on the islands. You remember I told you that? Or was it you, this place?
Yeah.
Okay. How they would and they would give the land to them because they were not, they didn't think they were going to be able to live over there because of the rice and the water. And they gave the land to the slaves. And in Brunswick, my grandfather lived in Brunswick, and he was a product of a white man's child. And my great-grandfather, which was my father, my grandfather's father, he was one of the slave owners that were good to his black children. And when my grandfather died and his children, which is my father, brothers and sisters, but my father's the baby, went to the courthouse to see about my grandfather's land. Because see, they didn't, in those days, people didn't keep records like we do today. They didn't know how to have a lawyer to have control of your property and stuff. And when my grandfather died and the older uncles went to the courthouse for my grandmother to find out what land did my grandfather have. And he went in that courthouse and he found where my white great-grandfather, which was his father, had left him all this land. He was, my great-grandfather was a tax collector, and he would repossess all this land. He had control because he was working in the courthouse. And what he did for his black children, he left land all in the white neighborhoods. And see, in those days, in the 20s, those people didn't have no idea that they would be able to stay in the white neighborhood. There was no integration. So the black people, my uncles say, well, we can't ever live here. I mean, there's no need of keeping all this land because we can't live here with these white people. But look what happened. And they sold it. Now, I'm sure he just literally gave it away. And today, some of it that they didn't even pay taxes on. And today, where there are nice, beautiful parks at, you know, corner lots, those nice lots, was the Sullivan property, where they just took it because they knew that my uncles, them, they didn't have the education and the know-how to see about this property and to control it. But this white great-grandfather left all this land to his black children. And I guess he had the vision of one day they would be able to, you know how some of us have vision and some of us don't, and we don't have foresight, some of us. But he did, and he left all this land in the white neighborhood for. And my grandfather owned a grocery store, and he had land in the black neighborhood where he gave to the older children. My father still lived in the home house, and he had a store right next door, and he would own from one block to the other. And that land, all that land, he would own from one block. But it was given to him by his white grandfather, his white father. Okay, let's talk about the other side.
That's what I'm waiting on.
Okay, talking about...
See, both of them was collectors.
Talking about prejudice. My great... Okay, that meant my...